Hi folks, welcome to this premium podcast about how we can save England. I'm joined by Beau, and we are going to be talking about the dire state of England in particular, because for some reason it's weird to talk about England, and therefore we should do it more. No one wants to, therefore we have to. And I want to. I think it's genuinely important. And then we're going to have a discussion about what we think can be done about these things. A sort of just speculative conversation about how we should frame things, what we should be trying to achieve, just having it out. If you've got any thoughts of your own, please do leave them in the comments, because I will, of course, be reading them voraciously, because we're all in new territory here. This is a new frontier that we've got to figure out for ourselves. So let's begin with the 2021 census data, because I think it's become obvious at this point. Can you zoom out on this map at all, John? I mean, that's the very dark blue parts are the parts of England that still exist as England, and you can see that lots of other parts have just been cannibalized by immigration. There are areas of the UK that are literally minority English now. This seems to be perfectly good evidence to me that we are in fact losing England. I don't think that's actually something that's very contestable at this point. I mean, when London is 37% English, Birmingham is 42% English, Watford is 45% English, Luton is 31% English, Leicester is 33% English, and Slough is 24% English, we can say that they're not English cities.
Anyone that seems to have a problem with the word invasion is just...
Well, I mean, there is a literal invasion on across the channel, which we'll talk about in a minute, in fact. But I suppose that people would take objection to the question of invasion because essentially they're being let in by the Conservatives. The overwhelming majority of this is legal immigration. And so people would say, well, that's not technically an invasion if you just hold the doors open. And you have to admit that is true.
That's semantics, though, whatever.
It's not just semantics. That is technically not an invasion. So we need to find, again, this is the purpose. It's easy to fall into this blunder where the left can say, no, it's not because we opened the door. Okay, fine. We need another word for it then, right? Personally, I find it to be akin to colonization at this point. But the leftist response to that is, well, that you weren't conquered, were you? It's like, well, maybe there are more than one kinds of colonization. Maybe there's kind of hard colonization that requires an army first, like the British Empire had, or there's soft colonization that is just the sort of liquid movement of people that changes demographics.
Use whatever words you want, but that's what it is, demographic change.
Yes.
And on the horizon, really sickening, dangerous consequences if you look back at history.
Yeah. In fact, we don't need to look at very, very far back in history to see the sickening consequences of this. When was the last time you went to the East End of London?
Not that long ago.
Yeah? Do you see any Cockneys there?
No.
That's weird. No Cockneys?
No.
Do you know the word Cockney is 800 years old to refer to the particular ethnic group of the English, a subgroup of the English, who lived in the East End of London? Did you know that?
Yeah, well, I mean, the true Cockney is born within the sound of Bow Bells. Mm. It's Bow Church.
Mm.
And Whitechapel, even in the 19th, 20th century, was famously a Jewish quarter.
Yeah.
It's interesting now that it's, if you go to Whitechapel now,
it's not.
It's completely a Muslim quarter.
Well, in 2016, the BBC did a documentary called The Last Whites of the East End. And I think we should watch this about a minute long clip and you'll see exactly what's happened.
I feel a foreigner in my own borough. We were born here, lived here, finding ourselves marginalised out of the area.
You would never get better than the East End, I don't think. And I feel a lot of the culture is moving out. I don't think there's going to be a lot of East End left. I don't, honestly. I do think it's going to just dwindle out.
And you wonder where they've all gone. You see them all moving out, but you wonder where they've all gone.
The life that we know is finished. Don't you agree?
Yeah.
It's finished.
people who cast opinions about immigration and how wonderful it is for us, they should come and spend a day or two in Newham. And if they think that that is good for England, well, I'm a Dutchman.
It's weirdly... weird amount of levity in the music, isn't there?
Hmm.
There.
Well, it's funny because anyone who recognises my accent is that I am from Essex, East London, the East London Essex borderlands.
Hmm.
And where they've gone is usually into places like Essex.
Yeah.
And in the last 5-10 years, even like the London Borough of Havering, places like Romford have been completely colonised, shall we say.
Yep.
So the white people that used to be in the East End, Cockneys, moved even further, deeper into places like Essex.
But as I understand it,
displaced in their own land.
They are literally displaced, literally replaced by foreigners. And what I understand, though, is that they're losing their Cockney identity, as in the ethnic group is being dispersed and dismantled.
Yeah, and the idea had sort of pearly kings and queens. I don't know if anyone was aware of that. But all that's gone. That's just it's a joke now, if anything. It's not real.
It's history now. Yeah. Now, this was in 2016. If we can go to the Sun article, this was when Newham was 27% English. And it was that bad for these people then, right? And it's interesting just hearing some of the accounts of the people. They say, it's not like the old East End where everyone knew everyone and we left our doors open. It's scary now. Years ago, people would have a fight with their fists and that would be it. Not anymore. Now people bring knives.
Or vials of acid. I think Newham had one of the highest levels of acid attacks.
Yeah.
Which is largely a Bangladeshi thing.
Yeah. But this is the sort of thing he's talking about. If you go to the next one, John. I mean, I don't know where this is, but this is something that could be happening anywhere, isn't it, these days?
Yeah, all the time, yeah.
Just this level of street violence with weapons over something that I'm sure is terribly important.
Well, when I was younger... I would go to watch West Ham play around Upton Park, Plaistow. And that was already entirely colonised even when I was like 10, 11 years old.
Yeah.
But now it's not small enclaves like East Ham.
Yeah.
It's all of East London, let's say, or most of it.
Yeah, I mean, if we go to the next one, you can see from the census, the borough of Newham is 14.8% English.
I'm surprised it's even that high.
85% non-English in this borough now.
So, and when you go there, I don't know, when was the last time you went to Whitechapel, for example?
Years ago.
But you go there and not only are you one of the only white faces on the street, but you're obviously not welcome there.
Yeah.
You're looked at like,
well, this is
what are you doing here?
When John and I went to interview the Muslim dads who were opposing the woke curriculum in Birmingham, we had to go to their house in Birmingham. And of course, this was an entirely Pakistani area. And there were just groups of Pakistani men sat on the streets. And they were looking at me and John not being English, but, you know, so not being white. It wasn't that, you know, they were like, oh, you're the white guy, you're the Asian guy. They were like, you guys are foreign. And they were just eyeing us as we went past. And it felt very hostile.
Yeah. Oh, yeah, yeah.
It's just mad.
You're kafir.
Yeah, basically.
In the wrong part of town.
So... how does this not take on the sort of aspect of an ethnic cleansing? It's hard to say that it doesn't, frankly. And this is, of course, costing us billions. I mean, these were all legal immigrants as well. Like, this is the disappointing thing. But, of course, we're currently talking about Migration Watch's coverage of... well, not Migration Watch's. The Migration Watch are talking about the coverage of the small boats, as in the illegal invasion that's happening on the southern coast. This is costing us billions a year, they've worked out. 1.3 billion last year. These people are literally not being removed either. We'll get to the next one. This is the Home Office's graph of enforced and voluntary returns. As you can see, it's less than 5,000 now. There have been something like 44,000 last year. And so it's a drop in the bucket, considering the Conservatives are letting 1 million people a year in. But as you can see, it's just the... overwhelming flood of people into the country is doing this demographically to the country. You can't ignore it. You can't hide it. And they're going to be staying. And we know they're going to be staying because the Conservatives are going to build them houses.
That's why, for me, a net migration of zero isn't good enough.
No, just that's migration of zero.
Not even that. No, go push it into mass remigration.
Well,
Net zero isn't good enough. Like you say, oh, yeah. Some return. Well, yeah, okay, French, German people, maybe some Poles return. Well, you actually, come genuinely from the third world.
We'll talk about that, actually, because you'd be surprised how many third worlders do actually leave, but we'll talk about that in a minute. So if we can go to the next one, we see the Conservatives deciding to spend £500 million of your money to house Afghan and Ukraine migrants. They're staying.
Was that in any of their manifestos?
No, weirdly, that didn't.
Oh, so didn't. We weren't asked? Is that the case?
That is true.
We were never asked?
No. Oh, okay. And in fact, no, we have been asked. Every time we've been asked, we've said no.
Oh, right.
Do you not recall? You know, it's in the manifestos, every single manifestos, we're going to get it down to tens of thousands. We're going to get it down to tens of thousands. And in fact, they increased it to millions. But
and somehow the government, even with majorities and a Home Secretary with a government behind it in majority, somehow unable to defeat the lawyers.
Which is weird, because they could just change the laws.
Oh, yeah, they could. They've got the power to do that. They're choosing not to, isn't it?
What was sovereign in this country after the Civil War? Wasn't it Parliament? Doesn't the government have the majority in control of Parliament?
And the endless gaslighting that the Home Secretary is going to do something about it.
Yes.
And they'll leak an article through their friends into the Mail or the Express or something. And there's going to be a crackdown on it.
Yeah. It's not going to happen.
And stop believing it.
Yeah, it's not going to happen. Anyway, so that's the physical colonisation of England that is happening. But I wanted to also talk about the colonisation of the English identity, because I think this is a real issue. So, beginning on this, in the 2021 census, we learned that, in fact, millions of people in some way stopped identifying as English. Now, it could well be that it's just because of the census itself, or it could be that people genuinely don't identify with the label English anymore. Which, in either way, I think is a very, very problematic thing. So I'm just going to read a few bits out of this Telegraph article, because it turned out that the number of people in England who identify as English plummeted to just 15% on the last census. Now, I remember filling out that census and ticking the English box, so I'm one of those 15%ers. In 2011, when the census was done and they were asked, how do you describe your national identity? The first tick box for those living in England was English, and then it went down a series, and then British was fifth. In the 2021 census, this was swapped over. So British was at the top, and English was at the bottom. And so most people just ticked British. So it's probably that there are people still living in England who are English, who identify as English, but that's just not been captured adequately by the census.
So the Home Office decided to do
that. Yeah, they just decided to swap it over. Possibly... Who knows why? You know, don't know why you'd do that, but you know.
Because the way referendums and questions and all sorts of things are phrased makes a massive difference.
Absolutely.
Massive, massive difference.
And they know
to the result.
And they know this as well. They're very well aware that the framing of the question it's like nudge theory. You know, you can almost craft the result you want by the way that you frame it to the person. And so it's hard not to be cynical and suggest that, in fact, putting the English identity at the very bottom is a kind of subtle attempt at erasure. You know, it's an attempt to just hew down the pillars of what it is to be English in England.
That's why I don't buy the line that the Tories are just sort of inept or accidentally failing to curb migration. I don't buy any of that. It's a very, very deliberate, active thing on their part. It must be.
At this point, it has to be. And I think that the Matt Hancock WhatsApp messages have shown us that, in fact, no, there is the public face of incompetence and the cynical private face of malice. I think that's what we've seen from the Hancock messages. If they're all prepared to talk about COVID like that, why wouldn't we think they don't talk about immigration like that? You know, I'm completely off the Conservatives are incompetent. No, I've come to the conclusion they're traitors.
Yeah, definitely.
I tweeted this out the other day. The Conservative Party are traitors.
Yeah, yeah.
I mean, the Labour Party and the Lib Dems are as well.
Obviously.
But they're communists, so obviously they're traitors. Mm. The Conservatives are not supposed to profess communism, so they're not meant to be traitors. But
you can look back to years ago when David Cameron said, we'll try and make migration down to a few thousand, 10,000 or something. And then they've somehow accidentally, every day, keep dropping the ball on that.
And not just keep dropping the ball, they'll keep cranking it up.
Right,
it's like, turn the tap off. Oh, you've turned it on more?
Yeah.
Why? Like, it's not incompetence at this point. It's just not. So, just a bit more from this article. According to the Office of National Statistics, the change was by residents identifying as English only, which dropped from 32 million to 8.6 million over the past 10 years. which is an equivalent drop to 60% of the English population. So it's not that they have actually disappeared, of course, and it's probably not even that they don't identify as English. It's just the English identity has been weakened so much. Because 10 years ago, apparently we felt more English. Now, after a decade of what I can only call a kind of minoritarian society, the majority is like, well, I mean, I don't want to be lumped in the majority because that makes me a villain in this framework.
Yeah. Do you remember a few years ago when Emily Thornberry attacked, in words anyway, someone had just put an England flag outside their window?
Yeah,
I think there was a football tournament on or something. And just the idea that you'd put the St. George's flag out is wrong-headed.
I think it was actually three St. George's flags that were flying from this house, and I think it was during the football. And there was a white van outside in this picture. I remember it very clearly. And so it's just this working-class guy, probably, you know, independent plumber or something like that, you know, celebrating his country and his team. And she's like, what was the exact word she said? I can't remember the exact phrase, but it's something like, this is just abhorrent or abominable or something like that. And it's like, just, okay, all right.
Idea of Englishness, the concept itself, is bad to them, and that's the angle they peddle.
Yes.
Well, it seems to have got some traction if these numbers are to be believed.
Why wouldn't it? Why wouldn't it? There's a constant drip feed of acid against the concept of the English identity and the moral validity of the English identity, why wouldn't it have this effect? People say, oh, I'm British. You know, just British, just. You know, nothing unique or particular, just British, you know. One MP who goes unnamed in this, for some reason, we are now in the era of the shy Englishman and Englishwoman. Well, since their identity is constantly under attack, in fact, not just under attack, but being erased, it's improper to use the term English, one can hardly be surprised that this is the case. What's interesting as well, right? So the other day, I had to get a taxi back from work. And the guy in the taxi was not from Swindon, but he'd moved to Swindon. And he was complaining to me. I don't think he knew who I was. He was complaining to me about racism because he'd seen an act of racism by a Sikh, I think it was bouncer, against just some English lad on the streets of Swindon, where he'd punched him or something like that. And I was like, oh, well, that's terrible. And I somehow got into the conversation. I was like, so are you English? He said, well, I'm British. I was like, where are you from? And he said Peterborough or something like that. Yeah, he's obviously white English. And I was like, oh, so are you not English? He's like, well, no, I'm just British. Just British. And I was just, I found that so perplexing. But the reason I bring that up is because literally it might not just be that, in fact, people just check the first box on the census. It might be people like him who actually don't hold an English identity, even though they are English. Mm. Like, this is something that genuinely happened to me. And I got to the end of that journey and it was just, and this was about 3 months ago or something, and it's just been in my head ever since, because I was like, right, that's really interesting, why
is there things like Team GB and that the Union flag is ever so slightly less frowned upon than the St. George's flag, but yeah, like, well, you're not a Scotsman though, are you? You're not no. Welsh.
Well, that's
not,
what I
you're
said
not Irish
him.
So what are you?
Well, that's what I said. So are you Scottish or Welsh? I was like, no, I'm just British. Is that right? So you're an Englishman. Right, okay, but you're afraid to say, or you're reluctant to say, that you're an Englishman, even though you are complaining about all the same things we complain about. Like, he doesn't like immigration, he doesn't like the fact that racism only goes one way, and he's seen examples of racism going the other way, and this is what he initially began the conversation with. I was just like, right, okay. Okay. Mm. And so that's this kind of, the erasure of the English identity, but what I'm concerned about, in addition to this, is the colonization of the English identity, and I thought I'd bring up our good friend, Adil Ray. So I knew you'd do that. Because I've been having, I recently, in December, had a conversation with him on the Twitters. And this went nicely. So I was arguing with him about Englishness. And as you can see here, I said, he was like, why can't we discuss race? And I said, well, a discussion implies that either party can change their mind on an issue, but race is a mutable characteristic, so there's nothing to change. So there must be an alternative reason for you to constantly want to hold the whip hand of foreignness over the English. You tell me. It's a good statement, right?
Yeah, good point.
And he says, I am English, why do you think I'm not? So I replied to that, you might want to update your Wikipedia bio, which says, ethnically, you're of Pakistani and Kenyan descent. And so to this, he replies, "Did your family grow on the trees, Carl? Every single one of us in this country descends from someone not born here." No, that's not true. I am actually partially descended from people who weren't born here, but I'm also descended from people who were born here, right? And so I replied to that, saying, "There are Brits whose lineage predates agriculture. You're a Pakistani man. There's no shame in it. There's no need for you to claim to be English unless you're attempting to deny the English the ability of self-determination, which is what you're doing." To this, he replies, if you want to go to the next tweet, "Ah, Cheddar Man, a European migrant who looked more like me than you. I'm more English than you, woohoo."
Oh my God.
"Welcome, Carl. Make yourself at home."
Could you be more disingenuous?
Yeah. I mean,
really? I mean,
the fact that even if the studies that suggest Cheddar Man had dark skin because he lived before white skin had evolved is true, it doesn't matter because we are talking about lineal descent. It doesn't matter if he looked like he was from Mars. Linearly, the people in Cheddar Gorge can still trace their ancestry back to Cheddar Man. And this was something that was done. There was a man who's found something like 3 miles away who was a genetic descendant of Cheddar Man. So it's just, it shows you the long history that is rooted in this country. And so I replied to this saying, "Why is this making you so unserious, Adil? I've said nothing that is wrong. It is all factually correct and philosophically coherent. One cannot change race, so your discussion of race is merely a power play, which reveals the fact that you don't actually consider yourself English. Perhaps if you looked at the world in terms of tribes instead of races, you'd have more avenues to advance. And then you would have to actually drop the race grifting, which seems to be your entire career at this point." And then he ejected from the conversation.
Right, yeah, rage quit.
Because I was right, obviously.
I mean, he's the child of expats from other places in the world.
Yeah, Kenya.
Right.
I believe it was, father was a Pakistani administrator for the British Empire, and his mother was a Kenyan woman, and they married and had Adil Ray, and after decolonization, they had him, I believe, after decolonization, so they had to come back to the UK, because for some reason they couldn't go back to their own countries, and, joking, quote unquote, and then they had Adil Ray.
Right.
So I'm not saying he's not British. I didn't say he wasn't British, but we're not talking about Britishness, are we? Yeah, I'm quite happy to say, yes, Adil Ray is a product of Britain. Look at him, listen to him. He's not been to Pakistan. Well, he probably has been to Pakistan, but he wasn't born in Pakistan. He was raised here. Fine, he is British. I can accept that. But he's not an Englishman.
Not racially English.
It's not even ethnically English.
Right. Well, sorry, right. Yeah, ethnically English.
You know, because ethnicity is derived by heredity. So you have to be born to English parents, at least one English parent, but he doesn't have that. He's got no ethnic inheritance here. It's just the nature of the beast, I'm afraid.
If my parents moved to China and then conceived and gave birth to me, does it make me ethnically Chinese?
Well, I think there's a better example. Is Rudyard Kipling Indian?
Right, okay, yeah, no.
No. And the Indian, the English and British in India got kicked out of India because they weren't Indian, even though most of them were born there. We'd been there for hundreds of years.
But the thing is, to be perfectly honest, all this is completely obvious, right?
It's factually true.
Right. And so what's really going on here is a type of, like, deliberately muddying the waters, deliberately failing to understand.
Yeah.
But so to what purpose, though? Why would someone like Adil Ray be doing this?
Well, that's...
What's their end game?
Well, it's to make sure that there can't be any weight of obligation placed on his shoulders, right? Because if he's not English and he is here as a guest of the English, which he is, I think, then he would have obligations of consideration and politeness and the sort of things that you do when you're someone's guest.
I wonder if it's not orders of magnitude more sinister than that, that ultimately the aim is, on some level, a revenge, on some level, to obliterate or annihilate Englishness itself.
Well, yeah, I think
that it means nothing.
Yeah.
That Adil Ray is as English as Churchill, or well, more so, if anything.
It's the same as what the transgenders are trying to do to the identity of woman.
Right, yeah. To obliterate what it means to be a woman.
Exactly.
To destroy the word, almost.
Yeah.
To make it meaningless.
To destroy the boundaries of the category. And the thing is, right, if it would be more convincing from Adil if he wasn't, say, a famous comedian who made ethnic comedy,
right?
Whose entire career was about being a Pakistani man.
I mean, the irony is...
Well, let's watch this clip from Citizen Khan, his famous comedy series. Yes, we must. It is actually reasonably amusing, to be honest. It's not a bad comedy or anything, but it's very revealing. Let's watch.
Bloody paper complaining about immigration again.
I don't know why you buy that paper.
Because I agree with it. Too many bloody immigrants coming to this country.
You're an immigrant, Dad?
I'm not an immigrant, sweetie. I've been here 30 years. Immigrants are the Eastern Europeans. Coming over here, taking our jobs. Jobs meant for us Pakistanis.
Dad?
All right. British Pakistanis. So, we are British, not Pakistani. Look, we work hard, we go to mosque, we pray to Allah 5 times a day. How much more British can you get?
I actually found that funny.
Oh, my sides.
But the truth that is said in jest there is that A, the people in his family considered themselves Pakistani. And he's got to be like, well, look, no, look, of course we're very British. We do everything that the Pakistanis do. As in, he knows he's not an Englishman. The pretense is not that they are English. The joke, the punchline of the joke is that, of course this isn't English. It wouldn't be funny if it was.
Yeah.
Right? And so, and yeah, yeah. And the fact that Khan is well aware of this, and for him to just, you know, again, many a truth said in jest.
To pivot to that he actually is now, though. And exactly. In fact, more than you.
Welcome to England, Carl. Considering, you know, all things. But anyway, so that's the colonization of the English identity that I wanted to cover. That is a deliberate weakening of the concept of what it is to be English. And it seems to be working. Now, the next thing is culture problems. This is from 2 years ago, when after George Floyd, the British university system decided we need to start decolonizing English universities. Places that were never colonized.
Doesn't make any sense whatsoever.
No, it means de-anglicizing. That's what it means. It means reducing the Englishness. That's what it means. And The Guardian wrote this article. Actually, this is just the example article I use for the event. But what I like about this is the framing. Only a fifth of UK universities say they are decolonizing the curriculum. So 20% of UK universities are like, yeah, we're going to get rid of the Englishness in the English university. Isn't that wild? A fifth of this country is like, yeah, no, we're not English. Okay? I can't believe it, to be honest.
It's because a lot of people that control, that have the power to control that sort of thing, are Emily Thornberry types.
Yes.
Clive Lewis types.
Yeah. And also, you've got to remember that a lot of the universities are actually run by foreigners as well. I looked into one university in Birmingham, and it was about this kind of, you know, left-wing ideology. And it was all foreign names, but it wasn't foreign names from one place. It was like Europeans, it was, you know, Africans, it was Indians. It's not a singular ethnic group that's doing this. It's the globalists, essentially. People who hold to the global ideology of the World Economic Forum. You know, it's not one group. It's, unfortunately, a kind of foam that's rising off the top of our civilizations, and it's happening across the world.
To watch the full video, please become a premium member at lotuseaters.com.